We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Inc. For a very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you are. Thank you for tuning in. Morning Crossfire starts every weekday, Monday through Friday, at 5 a.m. And we start conversation at 5 a.m. You won't believe it. Lagos doesn't sleep. Nigeria likes to talk a lot. We appreciate you for that. And that's why we have said, look, whether it's 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or whatever time, we'll bring conversation very close to you. And you can have your say on any topical issue. This morning on the Crossfire, because it's Thursday and we do Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire, so we have a conversation on childhood epilepsy on the show today. I have a very important personality, an expert in this field. He's a consultant pediatrician, Dr. Ayodele Reina, joins me live in the studio this morning. Okay, Ayodele, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Nigeria.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. When you said important personality, I was looking around. is Uncle Jimmy in the building?
Dr. Ayodele, you have come again. Don't bring Instagram here. It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
For those who are listening, if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have any question concerning epilepsy in children, feel free to stay tuned. And because we'll be taking your thought in a moment, we're live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can let us know what you think and your question on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. WhatsApp number is also very available for you to drop your thought. The WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. I'll take that slowly now. Our WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. I'll release the phone numbers in a moment when we're ready to go to the telephone. So epilepsy exists when someone has a seizure and their brain demonstrates a pathologic and enduring tendency to have recurrent seizures. The disease carries a great social stigma, which leads to harmful discriminatory practices based on various misconceptions associated with the disease. Why do we hide this particular disease? I will try. Myself and Dr. Ayodele Reina will try and bring some perspective to this in a moment. They are already calling us. I know people will have loads of questions. But Dr. Ayodele, let's begin with this particular one that bothers me personally. Why do children, let's say babies, why do they have epilepsy?
Okay, so thank you very much for that introduction, Sheriff. You've given a quite an important definition, quite a concise definition of what epilepsy is. So essentially, epilepsy is when an individual has the tendency to have convulsions or seizures, as you've called them. And convulsions are, of course, you know, the one that we see most commonly, or the one that is very familiar to everyone, are the convulsions where the whole body begins to jerk, and then the person has their eyes rolled up to the back of their heads, and that results from an abnormal brain activity. Normally, the brain passes electrical signals into our muscles to tell them to move in a coordinated fashion. Okay. But by the time these signals become a little bit haywire, such that they are not firing at the same rate or they are overfiring, then those fine signals that say move in a coordinated manner become, you know, disorganized. And so the muscles now move violently and in an uncoordinated fashion, and that results in what we see. And, you know, it's quite alarming for anyone to witness. So why children? I think the answer to that question is that the brain of children are still developing.
Okay.
Their brains are still developing, and so they are in a phase where they are quite vulnerable to a lot of influences like drugs, like low oxygen, like infections like meningitis or cerebral abscesses. So all these factors, you know, the development of their brain makes them more susceptible to damage and resultant epilepsy.
Do babies have epilepsy?
Yes, babies do have epilepsy. And some of them do have it as early as the first week, the first few weeks of life. And usually those sorts of epilepsies, they can manifest as abnormal movements in these babies. Unfortunately, think about babies, that babies can be a very interesting bunch of people in the sense that a lot of things that they do are very strange to mothers. Like, is this normal? Is this not? So truth is, if in doubt and the baby is making any abnormal movement, please take to the hospital. But what I'd say is that if you see your baby having jerky movements very frequently, not just the occasional jerky movement that will come once in a while when they hear a noise, but persistent jerking movements or stretching of both limbs that is persistent, then I think that could indicate that that baby has epilepsy of some sort.
So when they do like this, if you're watching,
and stay for some time
like that.
So when they do that and stay like that for some time, because, you know, guys, babies stretch a lot. They do that a lot. Yeah. But if it happens, so usually if it happens and they happily continue with what they were doing, that's fine. But if a baby stretches, because usually after a stretching episode that is an epileptic event, the baby usually becomes what we call floppy, such that the baby will be unresponsive. So a baby that stretches, you know, a baby that does that, their normal stretching, by the time they finish stretching, you know, they are back to what But once it's an epileptic event, the likelihood is that that baby will become unresponsive, such that you tap, you carry, you lift, and the baby is simply not responding to you, eyes closed or staring blankly. So that usually will differentiate the irregular, I just want to stretch because I want to stretch, from something that looks like epilepsy.
I hear that sometimes they cry abnormally or something like that. Is that also part of the signals of epilepsy? I don't know. I'm just asking. Like once the baby just cries uncontrollably, don't abnormally, and
so the abnormal cry, usually we talk about what we call a high-pitched cry, and that is in association with certain types of disease conditions, like what we call asphyxia. Now, asphyxia, in terms of causes of epilepsy, is a very common cause of epilepsy later in life.
Okay.
Asphyxia is a condition in which the fetus or the newborn young infant is deprived of oxygen, such that the brain is deprived of oxygen for one reason or the other. Sometimes it's because during labor was prolonged, or the oxygen supply to the child through the umbilical cord was sort of cut off, maybe during the labor process. Either there was a cord knot, or the cord was really tightly tied around the neck, or the placenta, you know, became removed from the wall of the womb. So all these oxygen deprivation can actually lead to brain damage that can cause the child to have what we call a high-pitched cry.
Okay.
And that high-pitched cry, you know, it comes with a lot of other things. So, for instance, the child can have seizures in that newborn period. I'm talking about a child that is barely a day old. So the fact that the child has seizures in the newborn period doesn't necessarily mean that they will go on to have epilepsy.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, can they outgrow it?
Yes. So there are some of those epilepsy syndromes that can be outgrown. However, there are some that, quite frankly, it's a lifetime of treatment. Unfortunately.
Don't scare me. What are those ones?
So we talk about epilepsy syndromes because epilepsy has some, when we talk about a syndrome is a condition that has very specific features, such that if you see one, two, three things, you are sure that this is this particular condition, and this is how we should treat, and this is what is likely to happen to this individual.
Okay.
So for instance, there is an epilepsy syndrome that we call West syndrome. They call it infantile spasm. And in this type of seizure, they begin to have these epileptic attacks where their whole trunk falls forward very suddenly, and, you know, they're almost hitting their heads on the table, and it starts from around 6 months of age. Now, West syndrome is a very difficult epileptic syndrome to treat, and so you have to, you know, make use of drugs that are not, you know, usually readily available, that might have significant side effects, and the children will begin to have things like mental retardation. So West syndrome is characterized by a specific looking type of what we call an electroencephalogram. An EEG, for everyone, is a test that we do whereby we connect electrodes. Electrodes are simply devices that can pick up electrical signals to the head of the individual. And then those electrical signals are traced on a paper, transduced, and then traced on a paper for us to see what the brain wave looks like.
Okay.
Tell us what part of the brain exactly the epilepsy is coming from and what the pattern looks like. And so that West syndrome has what we call a hips arrhythmia, which is a very disorganized electrical wave.
Right.
And so such children actually don't do very well, you know, on the long run. Also, individuals who had issues at birth, so for instance, those individuals that had, you know, that low oxygen level, had meningitis, had a brain infection, there's a tendency that no matter how much you try, they might not really outgrow it because there's a focal and very specific damage to certain parts of the brain.
Doctor, I have loads of questions, but I want us to engage with people the more because they can actually connect with you directly on their issues. But then before I open up the phone lines, I have this one. I have two that I need to drop before we go to the phone lines.
Okay.
First is, let's say that the baby was born normal, like no epilepsy, no seizure whatsoever, no convulsion. At what age can a child starts exhibiting those symptoms?
Okay, great question. Truth is, majority of individuals who have epilepsy actually have maybe not in this environment. So in this environment, so the spectrum varies quite widely. Here in the developing world, you find out that a lot of children that have epilepsy had issues in the newborn period.
Oh.
But for a lot of children as well, you'll find out that they were perfectly fine at birth, no issues, and suddenly they just develop epilepsy. Now, that can happen at absolutely any age, quite frankly. So we don't usually like to put a cap on the age, this is the age when you are likely to have it. No. It can happen at absolutely any age. So meaning that your index of suspicion has to be quite high. You can't just assume that, because this child isn't up to 1 year, it's unlikely that the child will have epilepsy. The child can have epilepsy as early as 1 year.
As early as 1 year?
Yes.
Is there a connection between the age of the mom and the child? Doctor, please hold on.
Okay.
I think we need to take a quick break. I'm hearing something here in my headphone. Let's see what is going on. Okay, I think that stopped. So let's go on.
Okay.
Is there a connection between the age of the mother and childbirth epilepsy or child epilepsy?
No, fortunately, there isn't. As far as I know, there hasn't been a very strong connection between the age of the mother and epilepsy. However, the age of the mother does come into play when it comes to certain genetic diseases like Down syndrome. So the older the mother, especially mothers who are 35 years old and above, the likelihood that they will give birth to a child that has Down syndrome is significantly increased. But when it comes to epilepsy, no, there hasn't, no connection between age of the mother and epilepsy has been established.
Right away. Now, now that I've exhausted those two questions, I have a few more left. Let's go to the phone lines and hear people who would like to ask you some specific questions regarding their situation. 0700-993-993-993. That is our studio line. That's 0700-993-993-993. If you want to be anonymous, you're free to do that. We welcome that as well. For the female listener, the number to call is 01465-7190. That is exclusive to the female callers. It's 01465-7190. And when you call, please go straight to the point. You don't have to tell me your name or where you're calling from. In fact, the lady that you will hear her voice first, you don't have to tell her anything. Just tell her that you want to, you know, connect to the studio, and she will patch you through to the studio. We have our first anonymous caller. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, please. Let's talk. What's your question?
All right. I just want to ask, does children with CP, with cerebral palsy, which happened as a result of birth asphyxia, the doctor mentioned it earlier, is it normal for such child to, of course, the child has seizures, and I don't know, at what point can we say, okay, it's... what's the topic we're talking about now?
Epilepsy.
Okay. Yes. But the seizure, you know, like, happens for 10, 15 seconds tops, and maybe something triggers it again and stuff. That's my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Thank you. Doc, just hold on a thought. Let's take this female caller, then we'll come to you. We'll merge those two calls together for you to attend to. Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Good morning.
Let's hear you.
My name is Loretta. I just want to contribute to what the doctor has said.
Yes, go on.
I actually had a child with who had CP, cerebral palsy, back then. You know, so all the symptoms, like We had low oxygen when we gave birth to him, bed asphyxia and all that, you know, transfusion of blood, you know. You know, at the end of the day, we were discharged. But at 6 months, we noticed, you know, the jerking. It just came once, you know. Then frequently, so we noticed he wasn't staring. He would just stare. He would just be looking, you know. He, as in, nothing. He wasn't smiling again. Nothing. Hmm. You know, when we took him to the hospital, the actors to go and do EEG and all that. So that was how it was diagnosed. I had cerebral palsy. We started with the maintenance, you know, physiotherapy to help him with the hands and legs. But at the end of the day, at age almost 7, he gave up the ghost. So I just want to thank God. And it was quite a lovely experience that God, you know, because things, you see things, you can't explain. You can't tell why. But it was just, we're just grateful to God for giving us the opportunity to take care of him while he was here. So that was just this is just my little contribution I have to give this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate your thought. Doctor? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, the second caller, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I mean, this is the story of a lot of families here in, you know, this part of the world where they give birth to babies and the babies have cerebral palsy. By the way, everyone, cerebral palsy is a disorder of movement and posture that results from damage to the brain while it is still developing. And this can happen even when the baby is still in the womb. For a lot of people, they actually don't know exactly what the cause of the cerebral palsy or the cause of that brain damage is. But again, in our environment, for a lot of other people, things like that asphyxia I spoke about, whereby the brain is deprived of oxygen in the first few days of life, can actually result in that brain damage. I'm really sorry to hear that, but yes, I mean, very, very thankful that, you know, you have taken that experience as the opportunity to have cared for another soul.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, the dignity that you give the human soul, you know, is what really, really matters.
That's right.
You know, so thank you very much for that. The first caller also mentioned that the child had cerebral palsy.
That's right.
Now, cerebral palsy, meaning that it is a very common, a common condition as far as, you know, childhood conditions go. And what are common causes of cerebral palsy include things like asphyxia, jaundice, neonatal jaundice in the newborn period. So we don't joke around when we say a child that has jaundice, because
that's right.
This is a brain that the child hopefully should use for the next 70 years. But if a damage occurs, then the functionality of that brain is cut short, you know, significantly, such that it's not a quality brain that is going to be used if the child manages to survive beyond 30.
Right.
You know, meaning that he mentioned that his child has a tendency to have, you know, seizures. If a person has more than 2 seizures that are not associated with fever,
right,
the person is said to be had to have epilepsy. So regardless, if a person has a seizure now when he is 1 year old, and the next seizure that he doesn't have a fever, and the next seizure that he has is when he is 8 years old, it is concluded that he has epilepsy. Now, what type of epilepsy he has, what is causing it, is what we will now have to, you know, determine.
Right.
So that child that he mentioned that has cerebral palsy and has been having frequent seizures, yes, the child has epilepsy. And epilepsy is one of the issues that children with cerebral palsy have, amongst a lot of other things, including difficulty with breathing, difficulty with swallowing, feeding, you know, difficulty with movement and posture. So,
right, indeed. Yeah. Let's jump on another call before we go out for our first break. Good morning to you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Can you turn off your radio, please, madam?
I can do that.
Thank you. Yes.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let's talk.
I have a son that developed a seizure at the age of 7, and he went to various hospitals when he started taking Tegretol. He's 15 now. He's still on Tegretol. I want to know if there's a chance that he may stop this medication and return to normal at some point in his life, or if it's something that he has to continue for the rest of his life.
All right, madam.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Yes, please.
Okay, so thank you very much for that question, Ma. Very important. Now, when it comes to treatment of epilepsy, unfortunately, epilepsy does not have a cure. but epilepsy can be managed. There isn't such a thing as, you know, curable epilepsy to a large extent. So she has asked, her son has been on Tegretol, which is one of the, that's a brand name, but okay. the drug is carbamazepine.
Okay.
Now, carbamazepine is one of the drugs that we actually use to treat epilepsy. So what happens is that we start a drug for a child who has an epilepsy,
okay.
and then we keep on giving the child the drug until the child has been 2 years free of seizures. And meaning that if we started the drug today, and then in 2 years' time, the day before the child hits 2 years,
right.
the child has a seizure, we start counting
again.
So the child has to be having seizure-free for at least 2 years on the drug before we begin to consider tailing off. So, of course, the question I'd like to ask is, when last did he have a seizure?
Okay.
If he has had a seizure, you know, God forbid, yesterday, then the 2 years, we start counting the 2 years from that point when the child had the last seizure.
Mm.
That's one. Two is that seizures, in terms of when to stop the drug, would depend on what is causing the seizures.
Mm.
So if, for instance, there are some what we call focal lesions. So, for instance, some people, they have some things that we call arteriovenous malformations, such okay. that the veins and the arteries that are supposed to be quite separate. Yes.
Doc, we need to go on a quick
break.
No
problem.
We'll continue with the doc's explanation of seizures in a moment.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're reaching you live from Etimi and Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Good morning to you. If you're watching on Facebook and on YouTube, we'll really welcome. We're discussing childhood epilepsy on the program this morning. Dr. Adele Reina is here with me in the studio, and we're taking your thoughts on your questions concerning epilepsy in children. Well, you're very, very free and welcome to join the conversation. You can either call in on our two lines. Well, you just call it six lines in two. Or send us your thought via our live stream on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us on those two platforms. We'll take your questions across all the platforms. If you are calling, if you don't want to mention your name, you're very free to do that. We welcome that. You can send us your thought on WhatsApp. The WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. Let me see. I have loads of questions here, but I figured a lot of people want to ask you plenty of questions as well, because all my lines are blinking. So what we'll do is I'll ask my own, then we're putting one call or one thought on WhatsApp as well, and the rest Facebook and YouTube. We have an anonymous caller calling us right away. Let's speak with the caller, then we'll come back to my question. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning.
I wanted to ask, quick one, does epilepsy lead to mental illness? And does epilepsy management has a time management? I know someone who treated epilepsy for like 3 years, and then she was satisfied, okay, they took her off carbamazepine. And after 2-3 years, she fell into mental illness, and they said she had bipolar. Is it something connected? Can okay. you ask your guest?
All right, then. He's listening. He'll respond to that now, Doc.
Very good. That's a very good question. So yes, there are people who actually have who become seizure free. As I said, we give the anticonvulsants. If they've been seizure free for at least 2 years, then we can actually stop the anticonvulsants gradually.
Okay.
Now, mental illness and epilepsy, because the brain is one unit, even though it has their several parts, they all work together to perform one duty, which is to make the human animal functional. Now, we don't as yet understand fully these interconnections. So it is not unusual to find the person who has epilepsy also have mental illness by way of schizophrenia or by way of depressive illness. But what the real connection is, and it's not consistent, it's not the consistent connection that we see all the time.
Right.
But yes, it is a possibility that an individual who has epilepsy can actually have other mental disorders like bipolar, as you've said.
Indeed. Now, I'm going to chip in my own here. Is it hereditary?
Very important question. There are some forms of epilepsy that have a genetic basis. Such
no
that,
way.
Yes, there are. Such that if a parent has epilepsy, there are some syndromes whereby there is a child that is likely to also have epilepsy. So there are some genetic components of epilepsy, which is why, as we're discussing during the break, that in some families, you know, before a person gets married to somebody, they would have sent spies to go and investigate in the other family, say, Homo, what diseases does this family have? Do they have convulsion? Do they have epilepsy in their family? Let me not go and marry the one that I cannot handle. Then, because at the end of the day, the children that they will give birth to might also end up having that, you know, conditions. Because some of this, so there's wisdom in some of the things that some of us
do
in these things, yes.
So okay, let me not cheat, Mike, because I was going to ask another one. Let's go back to the telephone. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Good morning. My name is John.
Welcome,
John. I want to find out, is there a permanent cure for epilepsy? Because I found out that there is an epilepsy center that they can undergo some surgery to remove causes of epilepsy in the brain. Is it possible?
This center you found out, is it in Nigeria here?
It's not in Nigeria.
Okay.
It's not in Nigeria. Okay. After you have tried and gone through all the procedures, drugs and medication, and you find out that nothing is happening, and the son, your boy, your child or what, is still having that epilepsy, is it proper that you go to that center and make your case and do the operation? That's okay. What I want to find out.
All right, John.
All right.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John, for the question. So when it comes to treating epilepsy, now, while I said that epilepsy is not curable, there are certain forms that are amenable or that will respond to surgery. Now, the ones that respond to surgery are caused by very, very specific causes. So if you see, for instance, a tiny tumor in the brain, or there's an arteriovenous malformation, meaning that the blood vessels in the brain have suddenly expanded in an abnormal way and are compressing a particular part of the brain, if you correct that vessel abnormality, it can actually cure, in quotes, the epilepsy. However, you know that, you know, in medicine, there are very subspecialist centers. But if you go to those centers, they will first of all investigate thoroughly. They will do what we call an MRI, which is a brain scan, to find out, is this thing something that we can remove and the epilepsy will be cured? So it is not all forms of epilepsy that are amenable to surgical operative treatment. And sometimes there's a complication in going in to go and try and remove the problem from the brain.
Right.
In the procedure, the risk is that they can injure other parts of the brain that can result in the epilepsy. And it's not 100%. There's no procedure that will give you 100% guarantee that once I remove this lesion that seems to be causing it, the epilepsy will definitely go. But this is worth taking a chance if you can afford, you know, those services.
Indeed. We're going to get back to the telephone. Hello, good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yes, I want to remain anonymous.
That's fine.
I'm actually driving. Okay, so, but... I just want to say, I mean, thank you for this program and the opportunity for, I mean, a lot of people to also get educated.
Right.
As, you know, this case at hand concern. My son, I mean, I have a young, you know, marriage.
Okay.
So my first son actually, you know, was suffering from something similar.
Okay.
And for some reason, again, because we were not exactly matured at ease, I mean, I'm 5 years now in marriage.
Okay.
You know, we have to go to different, we have to visit like different consultant homes, I mean, different medical, whatever. And at the end of the day, I mean, after spending so much money, just like the doctor was saying, the same thing that the consultants were repeating is, you know, they give you a medication, they tell you it's until the child is free from this epilepsy for 2 years at least. That's when, you know, they can maybe come down on the medication and all of that.
Right.
But it wasn't working and I wasn't even seeing anything. I had it on and it was actually outside in my hands. You know, if you can understand what I mean. We had to at least check another alternative. So what I'm just trying to put through here is, I think there should be some, you know, mid place between like the traditional and the orthodox medicine. I know the orthodox people don't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
But trust me, it works. I am telling you for free. I didn't even get to spend up to 100,000 naira at the end of the day. I mean, what we call Agbo and the likes of it was essentially what my... And my son is 65 years old now, you know, and he's been free from this epilepsy. So, I mean, I think it's a conversation that we need to continue to have.
Okay.
A lot of young couples are actually suffering from this. I remember one of the visitations that we had in Lute at some point.
Right.
At that point, I think there were only about 2 professors of neurosurgery. I mean, you can imagine at that level.
Yeah.
What we have to go through.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, there was still nothing they could do about it. I mean, a number of parents, I mean, I got there, I couldn't help it, I just started shedding tears.
Oh.
If you see the kind of problems that a lot of people were even going through at that time, I mean, I have to just take my, I told my wife, there's no point, let's just take our son home, and we'll seek another opinion somewhere else. So, I mean, I really do appreciate you, Sheriff, and let's continue to have conversations like this.
Yes, we will.
Especially we will. Young couples.
Yes, thank we will. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling me. Appreciate it. I want to, Dr. Reyna, let me ask you this question very quickly. Growing up, when we see anybody with seizure or convulsing, and the spit is coming out from the person's mouth, we say, "Oh, don't touch him! Oh, don't touch him! If that thing touches you, you'll catch it." Is it contagious?
When it's not a coronavirus, it's not contagious. So, but I think this is, and somebody alluded to it, I think this might be some sort of spiritual connotation to it. So if somebody had, you know, for instance, placed a, you know, shopono, you know, for people that don't understand that, what that is, if they place some sort of a jazz on the person, and then you two, with your big head, you go and touch the person that they put jazz on, how has it really, just asking for it, you're asking for trouble, you know. But no, if you touch a person that's having a convulsion, you won't have a convulsion. But I do feel very, very, you know, strongly about what the last caller said.
That's right.
The truth of the matter is that epilepsies can be very difficult to treat, and these drugs are very tasking. And what we tell them is that you must take the drug at the exact same time every single day, morning and night, without fail, without missing it. And the drug must not run out before you come for a refill. And if we are giving you a certain drug and we have maxed out the dose of that drug such that we have reached the maximum dose a child can be using for that particular drug, then we try to add on another drug. If that doesn't work, we try to change the drug altogether. And sometimes, you know, it gets frustrating for everyone involved, especially if these convulsions are not being adequately controlled. He mentioned Trado Medical, you know, going the traditional way. Now, the truth of the matter is that artemisinin, which we use to treat malaria these days, was actually obtained from the bark of a plant. And it was just like, it was put through rigorous scientific process, and it was found out that this actually treats malaria. So the traditional medicines have their use and their value. It's just that it just needs to be put through the crucible of, you know, scientific inquiry to make sure that what we are doing for patients is safe.
Indeed. Now, okay, so I have so many calls here, but let me just, I'm sorry, I have to ask my question first. So I have this other one here, Dr. Reyna, and it's quite interesting. Let me put it this way for you. So when people are convulsing, it's very normal that the first thing they want to do is to shook something, shook it inside the person's mouth. How do you care for someone convulsing?
Okay, so great question. I'm glad we came to that. A person who is convulsing is very vulnerable. And so the what you want to let me say the do's first. So the first do is that please make sure that you stay calm, loosen all tight clothing on the individual, lie the individual on their left side, and stay with the individual. You know, shout for help. Don't leave the individual until the convulsion has actually stopped, because they can actually stop breathing at any point in time, which of course brings us to the point of, you know, knowing basic CPR, which is something that everybody needs to know. So if you haven't watched a basic CPR video, please go to YouTube and, you know, just watch it. So
that's right.
Try not to leave the individual. Once the seizure stops, look, shout for help, call for help. Those are the do's. Now, the don'ts, please don't shove your finger or a spoon into the individual's mouth or into the child's mouth. You can get your finger bitten off, or you can fracture a tooth that can actually go into the airway and, you know, cause choking for the child. Please don't stick the foot of the child into fire. Don't pour hot water or any kind of liquid into the mouth of the child. Not cow's urine, not the urine of an old woman, not crude oil, not the snake oil, not anything. Don't pour onions into the child's eyes. These are things that I have personally witnessed or heard. And suddenly the neighbors appear, and then all these, how does somebody get urine from a cow? Why do people even keep cow's urine? But it appears out of nowhere. You know, you'd be surprised. It appears out of nowhere, and that's what people actually use to try to stop those convulsions. And those things might actually worsen the situation. And so those are the things that should not be done. Now, most seizures will stop within 5 minutes of starting. Okay. I know that once a seizure starts, the idea of keeping time completely goes out of the window, because
that's so
right. alarming.
That's right.
But most seizures will stop within 5 minutes of starting. If a seizure lasts for more than 5 minutes, then that's an indication for you to actually take the child gently to the nearest hospital. Please don't take the the child to the hospital that is that Mowe when you are staying in Suru Miri, because that's where they did the circumcision for the child.
Yeah.
Take to the nearest hospital for stabilization.
Nearest. The closest.
The closest, which is why when you move into a new place, please look for the hospital that is closest to you.
That's right.
For emergency
that's right.
purposes.
That's right.
When they stabilize the person, then you can now start talking about how my HMO is in your father, yeah, your father, yeah, and then you can now go there. But for emergency issues, please look for the hospital that is nearest to you. Take the child there, they will stabilize, and then you can move to where the child can get definitive care.
Interesting. I'm going to go to WhatsApp now. Let's quickly switch to WhatsApp and get some contributions from WhatsApp. Let's take this one here. No name. The person says, my brother started having convulsion at the age of 1 till he was 6. Doctor, is there a possibility that it will start again? Is convulsion a symptom of epilepsy?
Okay, so the main symptom of epilepsy actually is repeated convulsions. So yes, convulsions are a feature of epilepsy.
Okay.
Now, will he have the seizures again? It's hard to tell unless I bring out my cowries and throw down here on this table and say and say my incantation. But the truth of the matter is that if a person becomes seizure free, there is still the risk that they can have a seizure again at any time.
Oh.
Yes. Mm. Sometimes the seizure might happen again in adulthood, you know. But the fact that the person has become seizure-free does not mean it cannot happen again. But a lot of children outgrow these things such that, you know, they're having it quite frequently and right, suddenly, you know, you just find out that it just stops. Which brings me to the point of, you know, that the man that is, you know, he mentioned that he's a young couple, you know, he's mm-hmm. in a young marriage, was making that the seizures stopped after he started the tri-medical means of treatment. Sometimes mm-hmm. seizures, mm-hmm. they were going to stop by themselves anyway.
Mm.
So how do you know it was the drug, or how do you know it was just going to stop by
right.
itself? You know?
Is there a risk of brain damage when someone convulses for too long?
Yes, there is. So we call that status epilepticus. Now, status epilepticus is a condition in which a seizure lasts for more than 5 minutes. That's not to say that if a seizure lasts for more than 5 minutes, there's definitely going to be brain damage. What we just say is that if a seizure has lasted for more than 5 minutes,
right,
the likelihood that it will stop by itself without an administration of a drug is very slim. Mm. So by the time a seizure starts to get into 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Oh.
Oxygen to the brain is actually being deprived, and so the person can actually suffer significant brain damage from which the person might actually not recover.
Wow.
Yes.
That's horrible. I have a comment here on WhatsApp. The person says, I have a daughter that has this problem. She's been on it since 2011. To date, she's 17 years now, and their mom is late since 2009. Is there a way out? Because I've tried all my efforts, yet no result. How can I reach you, please? We'll give out your social media handle before we go on the show. So if you're wondering how you can reach Dr. Reina, don't worry. He will give us social media handle and any other thing that he can give us. So you can reach out to him personally. I would have offered to be passing messages across, but you know now, doctor, this one is your job. Kenneth from Ibarra from Lekki says, doctor in the house, traditionally epilepsy can be cured. My younger had epilepsy, and he was cured traditionally in the 80s. Orthodox doctors through the Nigerian Medical Association should have interfaced with traditional healers. So what he's saying is there a possibility for Orthodox medicine to collaborate with traditional medicine, and it's not just when we talk about epilepsy, in some other areas. Is there something that we can begin to look into?
The curious thing about this is that I had actually once said during my medical school days that I believe that health and health seeking comes in all shapes, forms, and sizes. As this, health seeking is as diverse as we are as human beings, and the fact is, people will seek for health remedies anywhere they feel they can find it.
Right.
And so I felt that as medical students, we should have been exposed to traditional, this was my opinion, but of course I didn't express it rather openly, but we should have been exposed to the tradition. I've always wanted to go to a herbalist and say, okay, you know what, tell me everything you know. I'm very open-minded like that. To just say, what is this for? How much do you give for this? So I believe that it will be a nice thing for us to interface with them and say, okay, what are the active ingredients? What are the active components in this particular drug?
Yeah.
And how did you discover that this particular plant
can do this job?
You know, and you know, for how long have you been doing this? Are there any incantations you need to say for this to work? You know, so things like that, just to know. So I'm not going to discountenance the fact that you could have used a traditional medical drug and it actually worked, because I don't have the evidence to say it didn't. You are the one that has the evidence. But then again, the burden of proof is on, you know, you to say that This is how it works. This is why it works, and right. you know, and things like that. So we, as the Orthodox medical people, I think it would be nice for us to borrow a leaf if truly these things are working. It could be revolutionary if we could find a plant in Nigeria here that could actually cure, you know, some forms of epilepsy. Yeah. It's a revolution, or even cancer. Who knows? Who knows? We might have something that might cure cancer. It might revolutionize medicine as we know it. But until that is presented to us in a way that the scientific community can actually, you know, look through, it will remain just oral tradition.
Okay. Let's get back to the telephone. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I've heard all the doctor has said. So going to the native doctors or the tribal makers, what they call them. Not that those people go with spiritism or spirituality. The spirit will tell them what to do. And sometimes the spirit walks on the patient. Because the spirit owns the body.
Okay, let's leave it like that. Thank you for calling me. Nigerian, for good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning,
to your guests.
Yes, good morning.
On the line. Just day before yesterday in my neighborhood, a 10-year-old child, slumped. We're all wondering, never knowing if this thing we're talking about here. And everybody gathered. Suddenly, a woman just ran and sprayed water on him and raised him up and sat him down before the mom came. So I would want to pick your contact or information to pass on to this woman, possibly to do something about this, because it's been reoccurring, you know, it's in my neighborhood.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you too. Doc, let me come to you with this question. Treatment of epilepsy, especially in children. How expensive is this?
Treatment of epilepsy is expensive. I would say that for a month's dose, so usually we administer medication to children based on their weight.
Okay.
And so the heavier a child is, the larger doses of medications we will need to administer to achieve maximal control.
Okay.
So I would say that for most of the common anti-epileptic drugs that we use, if a family might spend up to between 20,000 and 40,000 a month to treat. And if you think about 20,000, I mean, what's the minimum wage? If you think about 20,000 to 40,000 a month for a year.
That's a lot.
So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And these are some of the more readily available, more of the, you know, relatively middle to low to middle cost medications. If you now have to use very subspecialist medications, you know, like levetiracetam, you know, some of these other things that are pretty expensive and pretty high tech,
right,
then you might be talking about significantly larger sums. So it is expensive. And of course, this involves also follow-up, you know, because they're coming to the clinics. You don't just, you know, start medications and then just let them go.
Right.
Medications have side effects like liver damage. Some of these drugs might actually even, on occasion, worsen the epilepsy. So you need to monitor and follow them up. And so sometimes, depending on how bad their seizures are, we might see them as frequently as every month. Sometimes we can see them as infrequently as once in 6 months, depending on how good their epileptic control is. And this is time taking off work, time taking off school.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
Doc, we must go now, but how can people reach out to you if they've got further questions? Because I have loads of calls coming.
I can imagine. So, so please follow me on Instagram at the Noisy Niger Pediatrician. So once you just post the Noisy, usually I pop up because I mean it doesn't get noisier than
it's one very funny guy on Instagram.
So the Noisy Niger Pediatrician on Instagram, and on Twitter is at the Noisy Niger P1. So you can just send me a DM to ask me questions or comment on any of my posts. Or comment under this post and I'll answer your question.
All right. Dr. Adele Reina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Sherry, for having me.
Well, I need to bring you back here because there are other issues that we need to talk about medically.
thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much.
All right. Lagos, that's where we leave it this morning on this show, The Morning Crossfire. You can catch this edition of The Morning Crossfire on our podcast on our website, nigeriainfo.fm. You can listen again. You can also watch live on Facebook and YouTube. The moment we're done, the video will be there on Facebook and YouTube, so you can check, watch over again and pick whatever it is that you can pick up from that particular show. When we're done at 9 o'clock, Jimidis will be here with Daily Digest. But for now, let's see if we can give somebody 10,000 naira on Just a Minute. I'll be back.
Are you a salary earner and experiencing salary delays? In need of school fees, loan, or house rent? Does your business need expansion and you've got no money? Do you need a car or equipment for personal or business use? Worry no more. With Creditville Auto Lease and flexible loan products, you are just a call away from achieving your financial goal. Simply dial 0805-510-0010. You can also send us an email via info@creditville.ng or log on to www.creditville.ng. Creditville, financing you for a good life.
Now, let's play Just a Minute. 0700-993-993-993. That is the studio line. And 01465-7190. Those are the studio lines that you can call if you'd like to play Just a Minute right now. Yesterday, let's see who won Just a Minute yesterday. Your name is Mabel Apabio. You won 10,000 naira yesterday. Okay, congratulations to you. Let's see who can win today. Let's see. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning. My name is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, where are you calling me from?
I'm calling from Oniru Estate.
Oniru Estate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Emmanuel, you want to play Just a Minute?
Yeah, I want to play.
Okay, Emmanuel. We're going to start right away. Please make sure that you, once you are not clear of any question, just say pass, okay?
All right.
All right, then. Let's play Just a Minute, Emmanuel.
This is Just a Minute.
My first question to you is, how many shows play Just a Minute daily on Nigeria Info?
Three.
Wrong. Community U Report is hosted by who on Nigeria Info?
Skip.
Who anchors the show League of Extraordinary Nigerian on Nigeria Info?
Skip.
Iriti Bakare hosts what show on Nigeria Info?
Well, skip.
Pinpoint on Nigeria Info airs at what time?
4 p.m.
Wrong. Name the sponsor of Just a Minute.
Creditville.
Fantastic. Name the immediate past president of Nigeria.
Goodluck Jonathan.
List two letters on Nigeria Info mobile app.
N and F.
Wrong. Nigeria is located where in Africa?
West Africa.
Correct. What show airs 9 p.m. every Sunday?
Skip.
Okay. Your time is up. You got three questions correctly. Stay on the line. We'll get your contact. Lagos, Nigeria. That is the show today. We'll be back tomorrow for the very last edition of course. Whew. Morning Crossfire. And after tomorrow, I'll be away for 2 weeks. I need to go and rest. So tomorrow is my last show for now, and I'll be away. All right, then. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. I'm Sherif Quadri. I'm on Twitter at Sherif Quadri. I'm on Instagram at Sherif Quadri as well, and on LinkedIn at Sherif Quadri. Very lovely morning to you. Thank you for sticking around. Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu is next. Good morning to you.